Welcome to the Black Moon Lilith Rising podcast. The energy of the dark feminine is rising. Are you ready to reclaim your power? Understand the power of the dark mother of creation in astrology, Lilith. It's time for the world to recognize the power of dark feminine energy and how you can use it to heal, transform, and create the magic in your own life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Black Moon Lilith Rising podcast for another transformational episode. Today, we are talking about unleashing the power of manifestation. And of course, I had to bring Laura Chung, one of the masters of manifestation, and has released a book recently just on the topic. And I figured she would be the perfect person to have along on this discussion. Laura Chung is a Reiki master, yoga teacher, and astrologer, and she also is the host of the podcast Awaken and Align. She has her master's of science in industrial and organizational psychology, and she is an activist and trauma-informed healer who uses her various media platforms to share wisdom and decolonial education towards collective healing and liberation. Laura uses her intuitive and psychic abilities to help people unlearn harmful programming and remember their soul print, their soul's truth, and destiny. Her intention is to help people manifest the life of her dreams. And welcome, Laura.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back on. Some of you may recognize Laura from previous episodes. So excited to have you back.
So excited to be here, especially on this full moon.
Yes, everyone. We are recording this during the Aquarius full moon happening on August 1st. So, you know, the witches have to reconvene during a full moon and really discuss all things mental magic. That's really what I love to call manifestation, is the magic that you can do with your mind. And the beautiful thing about manifestation is that it's available to everyone. Even though you may not think that, it actually is available to you free of charge. It's just the methods and the way in which that you do it. And I am here to talk also about Laura's book. So, how to manifest for all of us that are on the video platforms. And the first question I have for you is understanding manifestation. So I'm really eager to learn more about the concept of manifestation from your perspective. So to start things off, how would you describe manifestation and how does it actually work?
Okay. So my definition of manifesting is co-creating with the universe, God, goddess, or whatever higher entity that you want to name it. And I believe that it's truly our innate power and our reason why we're here on earth on this physical plane. And so when I think about that definition, I think about all the ways in which we can't manifest, because a lot of people can't, or they assume that they can't. And so for me, manifesting, there is a part of the process that deals with healing our minds and our bodies and our perceptions.
Yeah, I totally agree with you with that. And just kind of piggybacking off of that, I think that also societal programming and the stories that your family had and your family line and just societal trauma like racism, classism can really block people from realizing their creative potential. Like, I think that's one thing that especially you as a healer that you offer that's different from the other manifestation coaches out there, is that it's from a space of, let me teach you how to move past these societal blocks, because you are truly a powerful being.
Yes. I get asked all the time, what is the quickest way to manifest? And that's such an American question, right? Like, just give me the quick fix. Yeah. And my answer to that is, the most direct way to manifest is actually healing your beliefs and perceptions that are mostly tied to patriarchy, capitalism, and white supremacy, period. Because those things distort our beliefs about ourselves and how this world works. And it also strips us of our natural ability to sink into nature and its cycles. Because again, ultimately, we are co-creators of our reality. And so you almost have to go from the end result, moving your way back. Like, what are the things that block me from being in the flow? What are the things that block me from feeling wealthy and prosperous and abundant and love and peace? It is really all about dismantling, deconstructing, and deprogramming.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's done from the inside out.
Yes.
So I think one misconception, another one that I've had from my clients or just that's in the ether from the collective is a lot of people believe that manifestation is an outside thing. Like, oh, like, and then it's also about manifesting things. Like, oh, I don't know, a Benz or whatever, or I want $100,000. And money wasn't created by God's source. So wanting just the paper is not as effective. It's actually going to keep you in a loop of just wanting money. It's actually about finding out who you truly are, finding out what your life path is, and going at it from that space. So if your life path is, say, you love money, and you love to balance books and you're very methodical, maybe accounting is your life path and what brings you joy and what you love. But right now you're stuck in some other reality and you're not doing what you really love. It's switching over to that and finding out who you are, and modalities like astrology can help you with things like that. But basically, once you switch over and lock into that higher self or your true life path, the universe then brings that money to you because you're on a higher frequency, right? Like you're living your truth.
Yeah, and I think getting to that place of knowing that and embodying that is a journey. And so you have to discern for yourself like where you're at, because we're all starting from different stages and places, even based on how we identify to the different intersections of privilege, right? So somebody who grew up with money and like regulated parents are definitely going to feel more secure and have a foundation to work from. Whereas maybe you grew up where your parents didn't have anything and you grew up in poverty, you're going to be starting from a very different place. So I think it's knowing where you are and then starting from there, because maybe the journey for your manifestation is really getting to that place of like healing your poverty consciousness and your lack mentality. And then from there, you can start feeling like high vibrational and starting to attract. But starting from that place of attraction is not the same if you're like, a thin, white, middle class woman.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why manifestation can get this rap of like, oh, it's perpetuating white supremacy. And in reality, actually, it's self-empowerment. But we need more people like you that are giving that perspective because it has really been overtaken by white people, essentially. And they come at it from a different perspective. When you don't have as many societal barriers or family traumas, I'm not diminishing that their experience on this planet at all by any means. Everyone has their own traumas, but there's far less barriers because you are higher on the on the totem pole of action than say a black woman or a woman of color. Like it's just a different experience. There's more layers for us to have to kind of bust through to step into self-empowerment because most of the time the white ideal is really held to a different standard in this world. So it's basically having to alchemize all those thoughts of unworthiness, not feeling like enough, because all of those stories are perpetuated in the media, perpetuated even by our own families. This story can be perpetuated. Like, do you want to tell a little bit of background of your family and just your origin story?
Sure. I grew up in, born and raised in New York, and I grew up with immigrant parents. So I definitely had this mentality growing up that you had to work hard and that life was hard, that you had to like earn everything, and you couldn't just like sit by and wait for somebody to save you. And so I, kind of went along with what my parents told me to do in the first couple of, I would say, decades of my life. I went to college, I went to grad school, I got my master's in psychology, and then I went to finance because that was like the most secure thing you can do as a New Yorker. And I guess like in my 30s, I achieved the epitome of what you would call like a successful life. I lived in Tribeca. I wore red bottom shoes. I had a house in the Hamptons. I made six figures. And so these were all the things that people said, like, you should go after, you should manifest this, right? And at the time, I didn't know that that's necessarily what manifestation was, but it was around the same time like The Secret came out in like 2008. And I realized, wow, like if you really want something, you can go out and get it and you can like really work hard. There was something still missing about my understanding of manifestation at that time, but there was something deeply missing. I felt like this huge void, and the void was me filling it up with things and a romantic partner and fancy things and money. And look, I think everybody should try to get to that point so you realize that that's not actually going to make you happy. I think it was Jim Carrey that said everybody should become famous to know that it's not actually fulfilling. So it was sometime during my nodal return that I was like, okay, I'm 30, in my mid 30s, and I'm not getting any younger. I need to quit my job and figure it out. And like, I'm a Sag rising, so traveling is my way of finding myself. And I was so privileged to have been able to quit my job and do that. And I started traveling the world and seeing people doing what they love to do, and they were getting paid for it. And so clearly that like busted a perception wide open for me, because a limiting belief I had was that you had to work in a cubicle, you had to work for the man, and that was the only option you can make money. And clearly that was not true. So little by little, I just started seeing in real life that the things that I grew up learning were not true. And I think that was just enough for me to say, okay, this is possible. And then I started studying about manifestation and energy. I went to study Reiki, and then I went to study yoga and astrology, and realizing that it really was all energetic. Everything is energy. And when I started then to combine that with decolonial education and somatic work and really embodying these things, that's when it all became real for me.
Thank you so much for watching the Black Moon Lilith Rising podcast. I am beyond excited to present to you Black Moon Lilith Rising, How to Unlock the Power of the Dark Divine Feminine Through Astrology, my new book, and new oracle deck. We have the Black Moon Lilith Cosmic Alchemy Oracle. And both of these are available. Oh my God, look at amazing cards. Mary Magdalene. We've got Black Moon Lilith and Scorpio for this, for those of you on the visual platforms. And if you're in audio, I'm just showing what the cards look like. Venus, these cards are gorgeous, gorgeous. And I mean, the book is chock full of quintessential Black Moon Lilith information in astrology. So both of these two items are on pre-order currently at lilithastrology.com. And these are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores as well have those listed. But basically, if you go to lilithastrology.com, you can find the links where you can purchase the book at your favorite retailer or bookstore. And after you make the purchase of both the book and the deck, you then bring your receipt order numbers back to the same landing page and enter all of that info in, and you will gain access to my free webinar, Lilith Alchemy and Self-Empowerment. And this is a great accompanying workshop to go along with your book and deck purchase. And it's really going to bring to life some of the topics and healing moments and shadow work that come with learning more about Lilith. And it also teaches you how to use the cards. I'm going to go into how to actually use these cards intuitively with your clients if you work as a card reader or intuitive reader, and also how to use on yourself. So this is going to be a comprehensive webinar that's a $100 value, and I will be giving this all away free, and it's going to premiere actually at the time and day that the book actually launches on October 3rd. So sign up today, head to lilithastrology.com. And also I'm putting the link to how you can get that pre-order special in the show notes of this episode. But I'm so excited about both of these. Time to unlock the dark divine feminine power as we head further into the age of Aquarius. Check out both of these two new works. So excited. I'm so excited.
Because like astrology and psychology, it all lives in the mind to a certain extent, but when you start practicing it, embodying it, then it becomes real. And so in 2021, that's when I got my book deal and I really started laying it out. But really, I had already written the book because I had been studying it for so long. And really, my purpose in life is to just show everybody else that you truly can be the co-creator of your life just from healing and peeling back the layers and learning more about yourself and the cycles and patterns you're breaking. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Oh, of course. Yeah. And I mean, that's literally what manifestation is. It's not just, oh, I want $10,000 or, oh, I want this bag or this house, because at the end of the day, the material is great. Best believe I love it. Second house moon. But at the same time, it's kind of like when you take a look at something like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, your base needs are needed to be really fulfilled. And a lot of those things are just accoutrement or they're nice to have. They're a result of your true needs being fulfilled, but spiritually your needs are being in alignment. A lot of people are not in alignment, and a lot of people don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
And alignment means you are literally being yourself.
Yes.
Cause I'm a corporate refugee. I'll call it. I did a similar story. And I realized like I was kind of myself, like I was in beauty and fashion, and those are all a big part of who I am and what I love and what makes me tick. But it wasn't packaged in a truly authentic way. It was still in these stories, I come from an immigrant family as well, that, yeah, you need to work at a corporation, you need to work at a cubicle, you need something stable, you need to work X amount of hours a week just to get X, and you can't craft your day the way that it fits you. You've got to just deal with it. And similar story, it's like changing, seeing that, going through life, making a bold move to move somewhere. I moved across the country to actually get that perspective that, oh, I could do astrology as a full-time job. Like, so seeing that And making those bold decisions also really helped pivot me onto a path towards alignment. And it didn't happen overnight. So
No.
that's another thing people think that, oh my God, I'm gonna journal and manifest all this money and these things. And but it could take like 5 years. It could take
Hopefully not, but
hopefully
yeah.
not. And it
Yeah.
depends on what it is. It also helps to look at divination, look at your chart to understand yourself on a deeper level, understand what could be coming. Because also it's divine timing as well. The
Yes.
universe knows you better than you know yourself. So once you come from that space, like, okay, let me find out who I am. And then the universe is going to send the people, places, and things to boost me on that true path versus subscribing to old stories that are just true. They're not really true. So you can have all the money in the world, and we can see that in a lot of these billionaires, just the stories that come out about them, that is not the be all end all of life at all. Those are the nice to haves, but stepping into your path and really healing yourself from the inside out is really what's going to bring true elation and alignment.
And fulfillment. So when I used to work in private equity, they were some of the most poorest, richest people. Like they were rich in the terms of like they had a lot of money, but their mentality and the way they treated money was still from a poverty mindset because they were still hoarding. And hoarding for me is another expression of scarcity because like you don't believe that there's enough for everybody. So that also showed me that it's not about the amount of money you have, but your feelings towards it and the way in which you allow it to come free into your in and out of your palm, like being in the flow. And to your credit, like I think that the most like challenging moments in your life also point you towards the direction of alignment because I have to say that I've had Pluto transiting my second house since 2008. And there were so many periods, ups and downs of like having a lot of money and then having no money and then having a lot of money. And that also taught me like, where does my true power come from if I don't have any money? If I don't have earning power, and if I don't have the ability to subscribe to capitalism, like who am I really if I'm not like a productive quote unquote member of society? And I had to find that for myself. I had to like go into the deep underworld of my soul. And thankfully, in the last like a few degrees of Pluto, I found it. And now this is where my transformation really started to become real. And as maybe some of your listeners might know, like Pluto brings up our fears, but it also is our power and wealth. So
People
I would
forget
also,
that Pluto means wealth.
oh yeah,
Plutonic
plutocracy,
wealth.
Pluton. Yeah, it's like the fertility that grows underneath the soil. So I would also say, like, our higher selves are so intelligent because it is part of source and it's going to get your attention in maybe sometimes not the sweetest ways.
Oh, I know. Pluto's fun. And we're going into Pluto Aquarius full time in January of 2024. So everyone hold on to your hats. Look where you've got Aquarius in your chart. So in terms of, because I know we've kind of talked about just some misconceptions about manifestation. What are the fundamental principles of manifestation? Like what, because I really just love how relatable this book is, and I think that everyone that reads it, it's just a great format. As someone, if you don't know anything about manifestation, it really takes you through the basics and makes it really easy to implement it in 40 days.
What if I told all of you that everything you ever desire, and the reason why I say desire versus want is because I'm into etymology of words, and desire comes from the root word from the stars. It's something that is like sometimes destined and fated, and something that you get like downloaded. Versus want is a Norse word for lack. You notice a lack and then you want something. So I always say desire versus want, because desire is something that's like innately, it's like a seed that is planted in you from like the stars. So we all have desires, and that is our human spiritual right to have desires. That shows us where where our energy is pulling us towards. So what if I told you that all of that is available to you right now? It's in your energy field. You just don't see it yet, because the first law of thermodynamics is energy cannot be created nor destroyed. So everything is energy. So everything has already been created, but you don't perceive of it yet because your vibration is not matching. That's the law of attraction. So what you have to do is you have to align your energy to your desire. That's why I always say you have to focus on the feeling, not the thing, because we focus too much on what it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to come, and then we miss it. Or it's like the universe is like, no, that's not good enough, or no, like that's not for you. But then we're so fixated on like it looking like a certain thing, it coming on a timeline, and whatever the case may be. So you have to focus on the feeling, and that can be its own journey on its own, because we're so detached from our feelings. We're told to repress it and not feel into our bodies. So I would say to when you're manifesting something or when you desire something, ask yourself, why do I want this? Why do I desire this? Why do I want this to be a part of my experience? So let's say, for example, everybody wants to manifest their soulmate or money. Those are like the two things. So what is this? Let's start with the soulmate. What do you think this soulmate will bring to you? Like, what is the feeling you're trying to manifest? And most people say, I want to experience love. Okay, love is like such a huge thing. And you could get love in so many different ways and avenues. It doesn't have to be just romantic. So, like, what is it that you actually want? And then I go back and work my way backward. And I say, okay, because I got my degree in psychology, this is Psychology 101, whose parents' affection did you want the most? And some people will say either their mother or their father or both. And then I'll say, okay, what did they not give you that you craved? And it'll either be something like, I just wanted them to pay attention to me. I just wanted unconditional love. I just wanted them to validate me. I just wanted them to have like emotional security. Okay, that's what you want from a romantic partner. So, but can you give that to yourself instead of attracting from a place of void? Because you're just going to keep attracting karmic partners until you figure out that pattern. And you can, and maybe that it'll take you like 20 karmic partners for you to finally like realize it. So
I
that's
can't
how you
tell you how
start.
many readings I've done where
Yeah,
I say
but
that.
you know, like, but that's when you start to have awareness around the pattern, and then you can start to break the pattern to manifest something differently, because we're manifesting all the time, but you want to manifest something different. And the thing that people don't understand is that you have to change, you have to evolve to manifest something differently. That takes inner work.
Absolutely. I think also another thing, just speaking in particularly with the soulmate, is you also have to have the strength to say no to the repeats. Because that's the one thing I find,
Yes.
especially women that I coach and have readings with and all that, they the universe will not, I'll just say test them just to explain it more, but the universe, you might still have remnants of the old energy as you're making this transition
Yes.
out of that old story about love, and it'll attract in people. And you have to have the courage and the foresight and literally the strength to be like, that's not him or her or they, like, that's not them at all. Bye. Or to, like, I can't tell you before. I found my current partner, or he found me. There was a good year and a half that I said no to people that my old energy, I would have been like, oh, this is fine, or but I'd be like, no, I would rather be alone and then go back to my practice and visualization and really feeling into who is really meant for me, looking at my seventh house ruler and seeing like, are they displaying qualities of this person? Is this really in alignment? So having the courage to walk away and say no, and to protect your energy from potential suitors, or you know, if you're on apps or whatever and you swipe on someone and they're mediocre, they're not, you know in your heart like this is not the person, but do you have the strength to say swipe left, or to say no, or to not entertain them, and to know that the universe is bringing the true one in for you, and to be able to wait? I feel like that is another challenge I've seen with that.
Speaking of tarot, I always say, like, are you willing to receive crumbs from a page or be patient enough to wait for your king? Because, like, we're queens. So are you really like going to accept like whatever you can get, like breadcrumbs, or can you just be patient enough to wait for somebody? And it's not even patience. It's like you're just working on yourself. You're focusing on yourself so that you have the energetic capacity to be in a partnership, which is another whole thing, right? Like people always dream about soulmates, but I'm like, do you realize what it takes to be in a like committed partnership? That's like a whole other journey.
Absolutely. Do you have the emotional availability? Have you worked through some of the childhood themes you mentioned, love from your parents, just the dynamics that you experienced as a child? And also, do you have the capacity to hold space if that person triggers at first some of those old wounds? Can you work through that? Do you have the resources available to you to work through that? And so that's another reason why the universe may not have given a lot of folks that person that they want, because the universe knows you and is like, we want this to come in when you are ready, because we want this to like be beneficial to you, and you're not ready yet. So if you get frustrated at that and you're like, when is it coming in? When is it coming in? That's just gonna make it slower. That means that you still need to go back and do the work around it.
And going back to the programming thing, you also have to ask yourself, because I find like a lot of women who are in cis head like relationships, they think that they want a soulmate because that's like what everybody wants. And if you don't have that, you're a failure in life. And this hyperfixation on romantic partnerships, I think, is making its way out because now we know like you find fulfillment through communal love and like platonic relationships. So I would even ask yourself, like, is this really what you want, or is this what you think you want?
100,000%, 100,000%. And I think that goes along with patriarchy,
Oh.
because I mean, they needed to con women. Here I go. They needed to con women to need men so that we would be controlled. Because back, it wasn't that long ago, I think it's the 70s, that women were allowed to have bank accounts. You literally needed a husband, and there's Ms., Miss, and Mrs. There's only a Mister for them. So this is all a construct that women have essentially been conned for eons, that they need a man if you're in, you know, in a cishet relationship between a man and a woman. So that is all deconstructing, I think, especially with Pluto and Aquarius next year. And that's why a lot of women, especially, have come to an awakening that it's not like, oh, no men, but it's not a need, because also that's coming from a place of lack. It's I desire a man because that's my preference. That's who I'm attracted to. But these are the qualities that I want to show up. And unfortunately, and we can see that in some of the articles, like the infamous Psychology Today article saying the rise of single only men is women are just not taking their shit and are like, you know what? These are the qualities, and may the best one win. Not gonna settle and just enter into these situations from a place of lack, like, oh, I need to feel this, or I need a man for this, and I need that. It's more like, my life is whole. I have the opportunities that I need to fulfill myself. Now I'm looking for a partner who can come along for that ride.
Yeah, and I think collectively, to your point, it was 1976, I think, that law was passed, where there has been a whole generation of women who had had to build financial security independently from men. So this is really like the first time in our history that we have generations of women who can be single because we had to marry a man and align with our fathers for security. Like, that's a huge thing, as you were saying, like our base need of security. So I think there has been this collective shift of decentering men from their lives and really like asking ourselves, what do we truly desire that is not dictated by the patriarchy, that is not dictated by like old systems and old ways of thinking, which is why I also like think that the men are losing their minds a little bit.
Yeah. Oh wait, I actually have to build myself and be a viable candidate. I can't abuse. I can't be
Because
a piece of shit.
who are they if they aren't controlling people? Like, where are their roles if they are decentered, you know?
And that's causing, like, you have to do the work on yourself. I think that's one thing I teach here, and this is like with the story of Lilith, it's about sovereignty of human beings, and that's true equality, because having to rely on the feminine and sucking the life source out of the feminine and not giving anything back, or feeling like you're entitled to that energy, that's done. But that's the way we've been operating for God knows how long, like literally eons. And this is a global issue. Patriarchy isn't just an American thing. And I think it's actually deconstructing faster in Western nations, because I can speak just from an African perspective. In Africa, it's alive and fucking well in horrific ways. So I think that as we are Western women of color, like having these conversations is so important, because it has to bleed out into these other areas where it's not as free. Like Iran is another big example of just oppressive patriarchy and violent patriarchy. People literally dying to have the choice whether to wear hijab or not. And I just think that that whole situation, this is based around men's inability to control themselves as sovereign beings. So it's up to us to like control ourselves in order for them to be able to thrive. And I think though it's gonna take us seeing these systems, which is the hardest thing. And this is why we have so much going on in the world right now. And I mean, I could keep going deeper into patriarchy. So let's circle back to manifestation. But so the next topic I really want to talk about is your journey on in how to write and how you wrote, excuse me, how to manifest. So what was the catalyst? I know you mentioned some things in your origin story that led you to explore the topic and really pen this book.
So this is a very meta story about how I manifested a book deal. So in 2020, I was actually like, oh my God, what am I going to do with my life? Because I was seeing clients in New York City and I had like events in person booked up and they were all like canceled because of the pandemic. And I was in a little bit of a financial pinch because all of that money, I think it was like 10 grand, was not going to come in. So I decided to take a moment and to just like give myself a little moment to have fun and do whatever. So I started TikTok in March of 2020. And I just started dancing and I did the typical like TikTok thing back in the pandemic. And then I started talking about spirituality and manifestation. And those videos started going viral because people were losing hope. And an editor from my publishing house found my video and asked if I wanted to write this book. And I was like, of course. Because it was, I've always wanted to write a book, and there was astrological events that happened. So there was the great conjunction of December of 2020, and it was at 0 degrees of Aquarius. I think it was Jupiter and Saturn, and my third house is ruled by Aquarius. I have my moon and Venus there, and then it was that following full moon in Aquarius that I got this book deal. And Aquarius and Leo are my third and ninth houses, which are writing houses. So there was astrology involved in how I manifested this. But I was like, of course, because the minute you desire something and you set an intention and you just start acting as if and you surrender to how it comes in, it literally came in my inbox. And but still, like when that happens, you're like, oh my gosh. Manifestation is
Literally.
real.
Oh, every time. And that's actually the joy of manifestation too, is the celebration. You got to always remember to like celebrate.
And it gives you more confidence because it's like, oh, okay, this system works. And they only gave me 4 months to write this book, but I had already had like notebooks and notebooks of like material. So in fact, I had already kind of written the book. It was, and I was acting as if I was talking about it, I was writing about it. So if there's anybody listening here who has something that they desire, you have to start doing it. You have to like very Leo energy, like pretend that it's already happening.
Absolutely. Like literally, I mean, as spiritual teachers, a lot of us started just going on the internet and sharing our wisdom and being in that energy. And then it's like you get better and better and better and better, and you attract those opportunities to you.
And you have to really learn about energy and about like Venus attraction, because what I also found out during this journey is that actually it's not about working hard at all. And it's just about attraction. We live in an energetic universe, and everything is based on attraction.
Yeah, you're a magnet.
You're a magnet.
Absolutely. And it's really tweaking that, the magnetic end of the magnet, and you tweak that through your thoughts, feelings, your emotions, through what you're doing, what you're saying yes to, what you're saying no to. This is going back to saying no to things that are just not aligned. Because what happens if you keep saying yes to things that you're not aligned, like say something came in instead of a book that you're just like, this isn't for me, but I'm desperate. I need this. So I'm going to take it anyway. It's like you're keeping yourself in that loop. So it's having the courage actually, because sometimes just because of money and a lot of situations, people have to say yes to things that are not aligned to them. So it's like having the ability, the courage to be able to not do the things that are not aligned and really welcoming and celebrating when the breakthroughs happen that are just like, this is literally what I've desired.
And that also prevents burnout because we really do have like not an unlimited level of energy. It almost feels like what they say when you're in the flow, but you're in the flow for things that are aligned and feel good to you and are from a place of a like heart alignment. Hope I'm explaining this right, because it's energy.
Totally.
But when you do things that you don't want to do and you know it in your gut, it's like, oh, like you know when you have to wake up at like 5 a.m. for your job, you're like, oh, but if you wake up for at 5 a.m. for like a flight going to a fun place, it's like, I'm awake. It's like
But
so different.
that's the ticket. Because I never, now that I'm literally in a reality that completely aligns with me and I'm tweaking, I don't wake up at 5 a.m. I don't like that. I don't like it. I'm never, I'm a freaking night chart. I'm nocturnal. I'm a Scorpio. I don't like it. If I can get a flight that's at night, give it to me. If I, unless it's like there's no other flights available and I have to go on this trip because there's a pot of gold at the end of this travel rainbow. That's when I wake up excited. But that's another thing is it's like knowing yourself. What do you like? Because I've had jobs where I'd wake up at the crack of dawn and I would be like, is awful. And on top of it, I have to do something I literally don't like. So it'd be like low vibrational. So I've actually talked about this in the past that I always hear about like business coaches, like I wake up at 4 a.m. and I take a cold shower. I'm like, this sounds like hell. I don't want to do that. Just because y'all are doing it and you have that belief and story that waking up at 4 a.m. and dunking yourself into a glass tub is working for you, that doesn't
You
work
have
for
to
me.
know, you have to know yourself, and you have to know your own circadian rhythm. So if you're not a morning person, don't
No.
push it.
No. It's funny because my partner is, but he was born at 4 a.m. He's a just super like, and the sun is at the top of the chart. So you can see that in astrology. And you're like, oh my God, that's why I was always grumpy in the morning when I had to wake up, before the sun is even out and trudge to the office. So that also, and some people listening to this may love waking up early, and that's do you, but knowing yourself and what aligns and not always subscribing to like what this coach says or what this entrepreneur says. Like, I'm sure Elon Musk's schedule, if you listen to it, you'd be like, is that like that might work for you, dude, but I don't know if that's
Like
for
a lot
me.
of that stuff still adheres to like the grind culture, you
That's
know, which is
like
icky.
literally I realized also like about my morning routines, like I like a slow, I think because I'm a lot of water, I like it slow. Like I don't like to get up and this regimen, and like I do work out and things like that, but it's like it's very flow and I wake up at a time that aligns. But I just do you have that as like, because I've heard that with some manifestation techniques that it's like you need to have this routine. And it's like, did you find yourself being like, no, I need to have my routine that aligns
Oh,
with me?
yeah. I think even today, I am still unwinding programming from capitalism that is like so annoying to unwind. And I actually bought the book by Tricia Hersey, Rest is Resistance, because I'm a New Yorker. I'm mostly fire and air, and I have immigrant parents, and I live in America. So like I default to like wanting to just be doing all the time. And I don't want to be doing. I don't really want to work that hard, to be honest with you, because that's why I got out of corporate culture. But it's this feeling that if I don't do something, that I'm not worthy and I have to earn rest and that I'm not productive and I'm a waste of space, like all these intrusive thoughts, you know? And so the most important thing for me to do every morning when I wake up, no matter what time I wake up, is to do some kind of meditative practice, whether if it's going for a walk or journaling or sitting with my feelings, to like remind myself that I'm not just a machine, that I'm not here to just work. I'm here as a creative being and I get to rest if I want to. So that's like for me, number one priority.
You're stepping into your femininity,
Yes,
the divine
which is
femininity. Yeah.
really difficult.
Because the feminine has been demonized since the dawn of time. I mean, like emotions are a feminine trait, and this is a huge part of manifestation. And so we've been taught that, oh, emotions are bad. Oh, doing a lot of the things you just described, it's along the lines of the fact that the feminine has been under subjugation for so long. So of course our traits also will be demonized as well too. So reclaiming that divine feminine power is also a big part of manifestation. And especially if, you identify as a woman, it's a huge part of you, even if you have a lot of air and fire, because those are masculine zodiac signs. But stepping into who you are also is important as well too, and who you identify as. And literally magnetism, attraction, that's part of Venus. Venus is the feminine goddess.
I was literally going to say, I would argue manifestation is all feminine energy because you are in the receptive mode when the manifestation physically comes in. And that is all about attraction and magnetism and being in the right energy for that. And if you look at things in nature that are like that, like a womb just is and it receives the seed. A flower just sits there and blooms. It receives pollination from bees. So if you just also look at nature and the things that are feminine, they don't go around and chasing things. They just sit there and
Who are the bees? The queen, what does the queen do?
yes, she
What
sits on her
bees are the ones
throne.
pollinating?
Exactly. So the masculine part of us too is also distorted. We have to go by our inspired action, but oftentimes we're always in our mind and we create scenarios based on fear of what we think we should do instead of sitting with and being patient enough to wait for that inspired action that comes from in here, not what we think we need to like create because we're afraid of X, Y, and Z.
Oh, absolutely. And because we've been in this toxic male patriarchal, earth for so long, those are all traits of unchecked masculinity. We can even take a look at what's going on with the planet. The fact that it's literally burning up and fire is masculine. The air just in New York, we dealt with the pollution, the smoke. And that's it. So you can see the physical manifestation of just the overrun, just toxic masculinity that is destroying planet Earth. And we have to balance these energies and heal both sides because we're just on a path to destruction. And we have to do that also internally as well. So I think that learning manifestation and understanding it on a deep level is actually helping the collective. You're
Oh
actually,
my gosh,
it's a
yeah.
service to everyone.
Because if all the women, or I guess like if we all activated our feminine aspect, the world would be starting to heal because the men are in power. So if the men are in power, why don't we have peace? Why is the world
Exactly.
like burning up? Why are there so many wars? Why is there so much violence? Why is there so much gun violence? Clearly, it's not working. Something is out of balance. So if everybody took the time to and doing the feminine things that people think are soft and weak, like taking rest, being creative, imagination, dream work, those are things that are going to help us have a creative way of getting out of these systems that are oppressive. So I believe manifestation and co-creating is so much deeper, like we talk about this all the time, than manifesting a soulmate and manifesting money. It is about collective liberation because when we're all activated in our power, you just have more energy and it just be a much more happier and peaceful earth if we all just did what we love to do.
Absolutely. If we did what we love to do, if we took care of the earth, if we were able to really activate who we truly are, because I think another big reason for just the overrun toxic patriarchy masculinity is men don't even want to be doing
No.
that. They don't even want to be
No.
doing that. So it's just a vicious cycle. And I think that balancing both sides of the polarity, that is what can save planet Earth. And I know that it seems like a big task, but there's just so many activists that you see now that are speaking out, and Nat Ministry is definitely one of them. But rest, especially as people of color and especially as women, is something that's been demonized.
Like
It's
you're
just,
lazy and
yeah,
oh yeah.
that you're just not enough, and that just emits a low frequency.
Oh my
And
gosh, I was such a big nap. I'm still a big napper, but especially like in my teens and 20s, until I like got a full-time job. But my parents always used to say, like, you're so lazy, you sleep too much. I was like sleep shamed, you know? But they
yeah.
say like the most creative people, like Albert Einstein, used to take naps and get these like downloads. So I love taking naps as like a form of like fuck you to the system.
Totally. Absolutely. And like, I love also being in my feminine energy, because that's a fuck you to the system. Because especially just from my perspective as a Black woman, that, I mean, my ancestors were forced to work,
All the
forced to
time.
toil. I think it's funny whenever I see, like, and I've seen some Black women kind of make funny TikToks back, where like they'll be like white women literally like, oh, my ancestors are like, wow, we can work now. And the white women are like complaining about like working and like, yes, we have to work now. And it's like our ancestors are like, you should work less. Like literally, like it's not liberation, you know, to have to work like a dog and literally work yourself to the bone. So I think like I reclaim it. And I've talked about this a lot on this podcast, like, especially to Black women, like reclaiming your femininity and resting is the boldest act of resistance against the oppression that we face because we've been forced to work. Our ancestors have all been forced to work and against their will, or you've had your femininity ripped away from you. So I think it's the biggest service to humanity and to our communities to actually take that and rest.
And there is a chapter or a day in my book where I talk about ancestral healing because in the spiritual community, we believe you heal the seven generations before you and the seven generations after you. So when you start implementing things like rest and feminine energy, you heal literally your lineage. And again, like time is a man-made construct by capitalism. And so, if you don't believe in past lives, even or reincarnation, I personally do. So, I believe it also heals like your past and future selves.
100%, 100%. I mean, if you believe in the nodes of the moon, you guys should believe for sure in past lives and just ancestral healing, and also with science. Literally, trauma lives in the DNA.
In your body,
It's
yeah.
been proven, and it's been lives in the body, and we inherit that traumatic memory in our DNA from our ancestors. So when we shine a light on all of that, we liberate them in the ether as well as ourselves and the generations coming after us.
Exactly.
All right, Laura, this has been such an awesome discussion. I'll have to have you, of course, back on the podcast. And I would love for everyone to know where they can find your book, how to manifest, and also connect with you online.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a fun conversation. You could get my book on Amazon.com, I believe, Barnes and Noble. It's also available on Audible, so you could listen to it. And you can find me on I am Laura Chung on Instagram, TikTok, and my website is laurakchung.com.
Amazing. And I will have that for all of you in the show notes as well, or down in the description box if you are on the video platforms. Thank you,
Thank
everyone.
you.
And we will see you on the next broadcast.